in the altar. Do I mean that when a sacrifice offered to the idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to the demons, not to God. And I do not want you to participate with the demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he is? When I first read this, I thought about Dennis immediately. And this is definitely him. It says, I saw a cute cartoon a while back. It shows a mother and a son walking home from church. And the mom says, the next time Pastor Bob asks you about what the sermon was about, don't say, about 3 hours long. That could be any one of our kids here, about Pastor Dennis. Special occasions are often connected with food. Thanksgiving, Christmas, anniversaries, birthdays, etc. And Dennis says he loves to go to Barb and Berry's for meals. The aroma of the food is only the beginning. Everything is prepared and the table is set. This morning, Jesus has the table set for us, and he is inviting us to come to my table. There are several things we need to bring to that table. Number one, before we sit down to a meal, we need clean hands. You don't work in a garden or the garbage, and then come inside, sit down, and eat dinner. You wash up first. That is why the Bible tells us to examine our lives before receiving communion, that we may see something that needs to be confessed or cleaned up. When we were kids, we were occasionally had to go to bed without supper because we did something bad. Well, maybe you guys, I never did. Eric's been hungry a few times. Yeah, click. When we come to Jesus with remorse and repentance, we find forgiveness, restoration, and an invitation to his table. Some people get so burdened by their sins that instead of asking forgiveness, they figure they're too unworthy to participate. And they pass the tray without partaking. None of us are worthy, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We are eligible. He invites us and authorizes us to come to his table. Number two, also, before dining, we need to have a good appetite. And for those who have ever gone to Barb's, for you, you need a good appetite. She makes enough for 100 people when you got 10 there. What would happen if you were invited to someone's house for dinner? In an hour before the meal, you ate a bag of chips, a Coke, and a package of Twinkies. After all this junk food, you have a little appetite for the good stuff. Paul tells us, you can't drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You can't have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of the demons. Verse 21. God offers us a substantive meal. The bread and cup won't fill us physically, but they will satisfy our spiritual hunger. When we stuff ourselves with junk food of sin, we lose our appetite for the banquet God has prepared for us. We need to taste and see in the satisfying goodness of the Lord. Psalm 34:8. Dr. Leroy Creasy of Cornell University has identified a chemical in grapes that reduces the risk of heart disease. He reports the Journal of Applied Cardiology that grape juice lowers cholesterol and cleanses the heart of life-threatening impurities. At the Lord's table, grape juice represents the blood of Christ, which cleanses our spiritual hearts of sin and deadly effects. We are in the world, but we do not need to be of the world. We are exposed to sin, but we can resist temptation. Do we get an appetite for what God has for us when we've been dwelling on things below rather than things above? When our perspective is fixed on temporal things, we can get caught up in which those have no lasting values. Jesus promises, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." What does it mean when Jesus says they will be filled? I think a lot of people live their lives empty. They go day to day without much promise or meaning. And when they reach the end, they wonder, what is the point of living? They are starving spiritually. How much different to know that God loves us individually and has a specific plan for our lives. Jesus fills our days with a sense of significance and satisfaction. When we're dining, we also need the time to enjoy the moment. I hear that chairs in places like McDonald's and Burger King are designed so that people will not get comfortable. So they'll eat, leave, and make room for more customers. In Europe, when you sit at a table, it's yours for as long as you wish. Sit down for lunch and linger the whole afternoon if you would like. No one is urging you to go. American tourists complain that European waiters often keep a low profile. The reason is they want to appear to be rushing the customers. Sometimes we're in such a hurry that we don't even enjoy our food. We'll inhale it, rush on to something else. When we partake in the Lord's Supper, we come to savor that moment, to linger and reflect and remember. I have to admit that sometimes I've looked at the clock, and after my sermon, I spend it through communion when we go to the Lord's table. Our spiritual meal should be focused on where we are here. Some churches do this. They make communion the center of their worship. Harmony at the meal table is important. I heard about a family who got together for a meal, and before long, the conversation got controversial. They started talking about current events, but the discussion slipped into political differences. Not everyone shared the same viewpoint, and the enjoyment of the meal got ruined as they argued. We can't expect everyone in our congregation to agree on every issue, but we are expected to get along. In verse 17, Paul makes the point of saying that we are of one body and we partake of one loaf. Conflict, tension, disharmony can all ruin a perfectly good meal. One thing we don't bring to the table is division. We need to be grateful for this meal. I saw an apron on a gift catalog that says, "Kiss the cook." Those who prepare meals appreciate being told that the people enjoyed it. When we come to the Lord's table, we need to eat with gratitude. Do not take it for granted. God provided manna, miraculous food, to the Jewish nation in the wilderness, and all they did was complain. We need to appreciate the cost of this meal. There's a famous Swedish art film that is a parable called Grace, Babette's Feast, in which a young woman uses her inheritance to prepare a wonderful gourmet meal for her friends. She obtains the most costly ingredients and prepares a banquet worthy of a 4-star restaurant. Unfortunately, some of her guests don't fully appreciate her gift. Jesus has prepared a meal for us that cost him his life. We should appreciate how the deaconesses take time to prepare our communion. Even more, we should appreciate the sacrifice of our Savior. Otherwise, we miss the whole point of the meal. I think perhaps that children may understand communion better than adults with their childlike faith. There's a big difference between being childish and being childlike. When we are childlike, we come to the communion with a sense of wonder and awe. A minister asked a group of young children what they thought of the ordinance, and here are some of the responses. A 6-year-old said, "Communion is a part of God and God's life." A 10-year-old answered, "It reminds me of Jesus and that he died for us." A 5-year-old responded, "It makes me happy to remember." And a 12-year-old stated, "It's the closest we can get to Jesus." We also come to God's table with loyalty. We avoid the competition. And your family, if you, your family owned a restaurant and you would go frequently, tell others about it, and you wouldn't want to eat anywhere else. Paul is talking on how people try to eat at the devil's table, yet come to God's. We serve a jealous God, verse 22. We will not be replaced with substitutes. He demands our undivided loyalty. The Christians at Corinth were tempted and revert to the idolatrous practice of their former lives. We don't see overt pagan idolatry worship today, yet idolatry is still prevalent in our society, because trusting anything more than what God alone provides is idolatry. Eating at the Lord's table means communing with Christ and identifying with his death. Our partaking of communion indicates that we, undivided in our commitment to Christ, he is our top priority. He is our premises of our lives. Let us now prepare and approach the table of the Lord.
Sometimes, you know, maybe we take communion just a little bit too routinely. We don't do it every Sunday here. Some churches do, that's their business. But this needs to be a special, reverent time to remember what was done for us. At this time, we'll pass out both the bread and the cup, and after everyone is served, then we'll share. Jesus said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The bread signifies his broken body, and indeed it was. Let us eat the bread together. Send your son to go in our place and be sacrificed. How can we ever?